So as we continue with our Bible study of the Jews' history, and as we move on into chapter 13 of the book of Joshua, please let's turn to Joshua chapter 13. So, even though the invasion and the possession of the promised lands was not yet complete, the Lord God commanded Joshua to start the actual allotment of the lands amongst the various Israelite tribes, beginning with the lands east of the River Jordan. Okay, so if you look at a map, you might have one in the back of your Bible, possibly. You see that half of the tribe of Manasseh and a couple of the other tribes had were assigned their property on the east side of the River Jordan. And then, as we move into chapter 14, we come to the main body, the allocation of the main body of the land west of the Jordan. So beginning in verse 6 then, in chapter 14, we read of a really interesting, a special request here in this regard to Joshua from a man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb being with a reputation for being very brave, very courageous, he was revered by the rest of the Israelites, and he became the spokesman and the representative of the people of the tribe of Judah. But this request here was specifically, in this case, for his own family, for Caleb's own family. So beginning in verse 6, Joshua 14, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, You know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord God." So that's a wonderful statement there. He's not putting himself up on a pedestal, but he's telling the truth. "I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." And this is an absolutely superb example for all of the Israelites, both them and us as well, brethren. Verse 10. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day." Imagine this, he's 85 years old. "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." That the Anakim were supposed to be virtual giants. "If so," now listen to this, "if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And so, brethren, let us burn these words into our memories. "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able." Fantastic words they are. Verse 13. "And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day. because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man amongst the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. So this, it gives us an initial idea of the general location of Judah's territory within the promised lands, and obviously, of course, Caleb's portion specifically. And this shows us, though, that it also, that it is good and it is right for a person to be rewarded for brave and faithful service, and especially for holy following the Lord God. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy following the Lord God. And if you think back to the time in Numbers 13, you don't have to turn back there, but at the time of the first spying out of the promised land, as recorded in Numbers 13, Caleb did not wholly follow his 11 lily-livered fellow Israelite spies. They were just human beings. Rather, he wholly followed the Lord God, and we must strive to do the same. And if we do, we, like Caleb, will reap special rewards for doing so. So please, bring myself, if you please bookmark Joshua 14, come back there, and let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Just one verse here. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now Jesus was not saying here, and people will accuse the Church of God for saying that we're saved according to our works. He's not saying that, and we don't say that. What Jesus said here was that we will be rewarded according to our works, not saved according to our works. And there's a big difference between the two. Again, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians, and we're all very familiar with this verse, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where the Apostle Paul wrote, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we know that, we believe that. But also, with regards to works, good works and rewards, let's go over to the book of James. James chapter 1. And this could be a whole sermon in itself. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jump down to verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what we're being told here is that the being doers of God's work is the same as being doers of the word of God, of course, and being doers of God's work is the same as wholly following the word of God, as Caleb did, as opposed to the following of human traditions, unscriptural human traditions. So in this regard, let me ask you a question. Does it ever bother you that our little group might be ridiculed or criticized or even ostracized because of our beliefs and because of our practices and because we've chosen to strive to wholly follow the word of the Lord God as best we understand it, rather than following man-made traditions. Does that bother you? If these things ever do bother you, please think back to the fine example of the brave Caleb, who was clearly in the minority amongst those spies. 11-1 against, right? 11-1 against them. He was clearly in the minority, but he followed the Lord God instead of following the other 11 human beings. In application to our situation and to our circumstances, please turn back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So in the past, in many cases, the church has commonly taught that Jesus was referring here only to the hatred and the ostracization and reproach on the church from the people of the world. But it's clear here who Jesus was talking about. It was clear that when Jesus said these words, he was also including people who were members, or nominal members at least, members of Jesus's own religion. Okay, in other words, fellow Israelites, fellow Jews, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, etc., whose religion had become extremely corrupted. They had, you know, Jesus as the Lord Yahweh said, this is your religion, this is what you will do. And, you know, these fellow Jews had very much corrupted Jesus's religion, if you can call it that. If we apply this to the spiritual Israel of God today, it is possible, sadly, it is possible that we might be hated, ostracized, and reproached by some of our own fellow spiritual Israelites, some of our own fellow Church of God brethren. Why? Says Jesus said right there, for the Son of Man's sake. Because we're striving to return to the words and the instructions as given to us by the Lord Yahweh, the one who became the Son of Man. Has this ever happened within God's true church? Well, we know. We know very well, personally, we know very well that it certainly has, and not just once. Okay, let's go back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 15, where we left off there. Well, it's the end of, we're in chapter 14. Let's go back to the book of Joshua, let's move on into chapter 15, where we'll find that this whole chapter details the borders of the territory that the tribe of Judah would soon receive. Joshua chapter 15 and verse 1. Some interesting points as we go through this. If you just read through it, it might be a little bit boring, but there's lots of interesting tidbits in here. Joshua chapter 15 verse 1. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom. The wilderness of Zin southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And it goes through the details of the borders of the territory that Judah was going to be moving into. So go down to verse 8. and the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, before it was Jerusalem, was called Jebus, and it was the it was owned at that time by the Jebusites. When you actually look at where Jerusalem is on a map of the tribes of Israel, you'll see that it looks like the city of Jerusalem was actually divided between the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, which is interesting. Okay, down to verse 10. And the border compassed from Baala westward unto Mount Seir. And Mount Seir was where the Edomites dwelt. And the Edomites were the children of Esau. And passed along unto the side of Mount Gerim, which is Chesalon, on the north side, and went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. It goes on and on there. So verse 12. And the west border was to the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean, and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah, round about, according to their families. So then, as it continues, so this he's gone through and he's told them what the boundaries are going to be. And so then as we move into verse 13, we see that as promised by the Lord and by Moses and by Joshua, the brave and faithful Caleb and his family received their promised region within the tribal territory of the tribe of Judah. So verse 13, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandments of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is Hebron. Verse 14, and, okay, now remember, Caleb is 85 years old, and Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kiriath Sefer. So Joshua then goes into the fine detail of Judah's tribal territory, which was Judah's territory was one of the largest of all of the Israelite tribal territories, maybe the largest possible exception of the tribe of Manasseh, who had two big slices, one on the one west of the Jordan, one east of the Jordan. Verse 20, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families, and the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom southward were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagur. So just hopscotch quickly through these verses here, just picking out some of the cities that might be better known to us, get an idea of some of the places that were in the within the territory of Judah. Verse 28, and Hazar Shual and Beersheba, which is a pretty well known place, and Bizjofa Solsha, I don't know how to pronounce some of these things, verse down to verse 38, and Dilian and Mizpah and Joktiel, verse 39, Lachish and Box, Bozkath and Eglon, verse 42, Libna and Ether and Ashan, verse 45, Ekron with their towns and their villages. Verse 47, Ashdod with their towns and their villages, Gaza with their towns and their villages, unto the river of Egypt, and the great, so all the way down to the Nile, we believe, and the great sea, and the border thereof. Verse 54, and Humtah, and Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, already talked about that, and Zeor, nine cities with their villages. Maon, Carmel, and there's actually two Carmels, one in the north and one down in Judah, and Ziph, and Juttah, and Jezreel, and Jokdeam, and Zanoah, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah. Timnah we read of in Samson, with Samson. 10 cities with their villages. Verse 60, Kiriath Baal, which is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. Verse 62, and Nibshan, and the city of Salt, and En-Gedi, 6 cities with their villages. That'd be down by close to the Dead Sea. As for the Jebusites, this is interesting now, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. So, and that was unto this day was, you know, at the end of the book of Joshua. But unto this day, those people have been a huge thorn in their side. As we go on into other scriptures, we find that the promised land was further divided so that each Israelite family was given its own plot of land to cultivate, to look after according to their own agricultural talents and other talents, whatever they wanted to use their property for, but also for the well-being of the whole tribe and also of all Israel, you know, to provide food for all of Israel. As we learn once again in other scriptures, if they stayed close to the Lord God, if they obeyed him, if they were faithful, if they worked hard and if they worked wisely, they would be richly blessed by him, by the Lord God. But if any of them slacked off, if any became complacent or lazy, an automatic curse was the result. The lazy families often fell into debt and poverty. And that poverty would even force some of them to sell their allotted properties to their creditors. But not only their properties, but also the debtors themselves and their families. And so the families of these lazy landowners in some cases were sold temporarily to their creditors, and they sold as what the Bible calls bond servants. In effect, what they were temporary slaves. Now the Lord God knew in advance that this would happen, so he placed very strict rules on this practice. It's called bond servitude, and God placed very strict rules over what happened there. Don't have to turn there, but back in Leviticus chapter 25, we see that the bond servant family's freedom and property was returned to them at the time of the Jubilee, and that was celebrated every 50 years, a hugely joyous time, as you could imagine, when these people who were sold into bond servitude would be freed, and they would get their properties back. Again, that's a subject of its own too. But as we continue now in the book of Joshua, just a couple of verses, in verses 16 and 17, we also read of another kind of slavery at that time in Israel. And this is called tribute slavery. And this is the slavery of the remnant populations of the conquered Canaanites. Just let's look at one verse in chapter 16. Joshua chapter 16, verse 10. Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10. And they, he's talking about the tribe of Manasseh, drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell amongst the Ephraimites unto this day. And again, unto this day was the time of the writing of the book of Joshua, and serve under tribute. Okay, so the Canaanites who were left there serve under tribute. over the page in Joshua 17 and verse 12, Joshua chapter 17 and verse 12, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, could not. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. They were stubborn. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute but did not utterly drive them out. So there's that tribute again. Now I'm not sure exactly, it doesn't go into the detail of why they weren't able to drive them out totally, but I get the impression from other similar events that the Lord might have declined to give total victory to Manasseh over those particular regions, perhaps because of some sin or because of a lack of faith. But whatever the reason, as we've already seen here, this lack of complete victory would later come back to haunt the Israelites, having those people with still within their boundaries there. Anyway, this kind of tribute mentioned here, this tribute slavery, was very different to the tax type of tributes mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures. This tribute here is translated from the tiny Hebrew word mak, M-A-C, Strong's 4522, and is translated elsewhere as tributary, discomfited, and taskmasters. Gives you the idea of that slavery there. So the words extended meanings include a gang of forced laborers, and it means forced service or serfdom. Again, once again, the tribute slavery and bond servitude, again, they could make up a pretty big sermon all of their own. I might come back to that at some future time. Let's go back to Joshua again and go into Joshua chapter 18. More mentions here of the tribe of Judah in the book of Joshua, and still though on the subtopic of the allotment of the promised land amongst the Israelites. So Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. Well, this is interesting because this is the very first biblical mention of the word Shiloh since we looked into it back in Genesis 49, in Jacob's Genesis 49 prophecies. Perhaps because the Jebusites were still resident in Jerusalem, Shiloh became the Israelites' capital city, temporary capital city. And Shiloh was apparently named after Sar Shalom, in other words, the Prince of Peace. You don't have to turn there again, but if you did go to Judges chapter 21 and verse 19, we see that Shiloh was located within the territory of the tribe of Ephraim, okay, not Judah, but Ephraim up in the north, and specifically, according to Judges there, in the location, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, on the south side of Lebona. So we can get a good pinpoint of where Shiloh was. Okay, still in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1, and the land was subdued before them. The words, I looked up the word subdued, and it comes from the Hebrew Nichbashah, a couple of words there, Nichbashah, and those words imply that something we've already seen, that the remaining Canaanites who were left alive in the conquered lands were drafted into service as tribute slaves. That's included in that word subdued. And as we've also seen, and as we're going to continue to see as we proceed, at that point in time, it was not the whole of the land that had yet been subdued, okay? So verse 2 here, and there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua wasn't too pleased about that. See what he says here. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south. He's already got his territory. And the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. They'd already been given theirs. Verse 11. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. So you can pinpoint where Benjamin's property was. So here though, Joshua initiated a kind of survey, a survey of the remaining lands that was allotted to the remaining 7 as yet unplaced tribes: Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan, and notably Simeon. Simeon, and I say notably Simeon because Simeon he was not given a territory of his own. He was actually given property in the south central part of Judah's territory, and this was to fulfill Jacob's prophecy for Simeon back in Genesis 49, which stated that because of his cruelty, that Simeon and Levi as well would not receive territories of their own. Okay, over to chapter 19, Joshua chapter 19, talks about this. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Jump down to verse 8. And all the villages that were round about these cities to Baal, Achbir, Ramath of the south. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Simeon according to their families. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much. That's probably a bad translation. It really means more than enough. The part of the children of Judah was more than enough for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them, of Judah. And so with this then, the main allotments of the promised lands, the carving up of the promised lands and the allotments of the various tribes was concluded. Verse 51. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Okay, so that was the main allotment, but there was some more to do. Let's go over to in chapter 20 there. Chapter 20 is actually dedicated to the assignment of what were called the 6 cities of refuge. which the Lord had commanded for the protection of people who might commit manslaughter, accidental manslaughter, and commit manslaughter as an accident, and you didn't really mean to kill the guy, still the family might be coming after you, you know. So they had these cities of refuge. The southernmost of these cities was Caleb's city of Hebron. Again, once again, in Judah's territory. Just have a look at that in verse 7. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, up north, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, up north, and Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Okay, so that's obviously Caleb's city there. And then as we move into chapter 21, chapter 21 is dedicated to what they call the cities of the Levites, okay? So again, just like Simeon, the tribe of Levi was not allocated a tribal territory of its own. And for multiple reasons as well, you know, they needed to have the Levites and they needed to have the priests scattered around Israel, you know, as local ministers, if you will. Okay, so Joshua chapter 21 and verse 1. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the children of Aaron the priests, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah and out of the tribe of Simeon and out of the tribe of Benjamin 13 cities. Jump down to verse 9. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon these cities which are here mentioned by name. And it goes through all of the Levitical cities. Just mention one of them there in verse 11. And they gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. You know, we know that's Caleb's city in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. So, as it turns out, 7 of these Levitical cities were located within Judah's territory. Okay, so lots of detail there about the settling within the Promised Land. Must have been a busy time for them. But this concludes our study of the mentions of the tribe of Judah in the book of Joshua. So we'll finish with that today. And next time in part 9, we'll move on into some interesting stuff in the book of Judges.